TV and the daily BFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad for you to be here. Obviously, you know, we're just live coming to you, and so many things are taking place, and we want to make sure that if you miss our last program, you need to find out, you know, what's taking place in the Middle East and how it affects America and what's taking place in Israel. And we are in a time, this is the four blood moons. As a matter of fact, the four blood moons, you know, we're in the last year of that. It's the Smita year. We've talked about that as well. But I want you to be able to know that in this, that this escalation is going to begin to take place. As a matter of fact, there is a movie coming out, I believe, in just a little while. I want you to see this particular movie, and we're going to go right in the program. So we're going to talk about the president. There's a trailer we want you to see that the president is talking about, you know, going back to the 1967 lines, and it looks like the whole Middle East is being organized, because I know the president said it needed to be organized, so that they could accomplish something, and it seems like they're accomplishing going back to the 1967 lines. These are undefensible borders, and we'll show you that in a little bit in Israel. And ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. We need to wake up and stand up for Israel. As a matter of fact, take a look right now at what's going to be taking place in this movie, Four Blood Moons. This is what we're talking about. America. We are in the middle of what took place. And if you haven't heard about the four blood moons, understand this is something that's happened, you know, on history. Major things have taken place. And it always has to do with something about the Jewish people on the face of the earth, you know, where just significant things have taken place. And our president was calling for 1967 borders, which is undefensible borders for Israel, and we're talking about, you know, where does things stand? Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, you know, we talk about presidents and we talk about in America, but you think about the president, if you would, of Israel, and he's having to say, listen, we got to stand up for our rights, we got to protect ourselves, and it's like it's almost, you know, some reports are, you know, that our own leadership is supporting a candidate in some political office running against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And it's like, what's going on? It's the four blood moons. We're moving into it. Now, interesting, I think that around March or so is when these elections are going to be called in Israel. And that's, March the 17th is when you're looking at this next four blood moon that's taking place. And so we're at this particular point. So understand at this point, all these blood moons, based on records and based on documentation of the one who wrote the four blood moons, based on what NASA was talking about, these, how they line up with the Jewish calendar and the aspect of it always has something to do with the Jews, that they begin in tears, but it ends up in deliverance. And it looks like we're beginning to see those times, that trembling of a cup. As a matter of fact, imagine this, that we just heard in our last program. Hopefully you caught it. If not, you can catch it at VFNTV.com. You can download our app. But understand this, that they're surrounded and they're saying, you know, you need to go back to the 1967 lines by one vote. Think about that. By one vote. Just one vote. If they would have got that one vote, they would have went to the 1967 lines. And he's like, let me show you what that means. As a matter of fact, this is from Israel's public relations department saying, what does that mean going to 1967 lines? Watch this.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
Now, you're looking at right now that our president asked for that to take place. This is why it's so important for us to wake up. God is just saying this, you know. Will we stand up for Israel? Do we believe God or not? Do we believe that He is the creator of the universe, that He is God, or do we just think, you know, we have some strategy in our head? God is the creator of the universe. He holds all things together. Israel is the apple of His eye. He proves Himself out of Israel. You know, Israel is a time clock for what's going on. There's a strategy being built around Israel and around America. But you know what? We can wake up. We can begin to stand. When our president asked for 1967 borders, you're looking at an undefensible border, and we saw what took place. If you look at the goal and the chant of radical Islamists and those that take the Quran serious, they're saying that Israel needs to be pushed into the sea. And when you hear, we get back from this break, when you hear about people saying, you know, we need to turn to the United Nations, you know, just got to be real. United Nations is not Israel's friend. They're not a friend of Israel. Everything that comes out against Israel. But you have to understand, there's a voting block of specific people that hate Israel, think Israel is an occupying force, and that they are in somebody else's land. It's not their land, which is not true. This is God's land. It's written in the Word of God. It's been there. It was given to Jacob. He's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so every time somebody turns to the United Nations, it's not going to end up good for Israel, and it's not going to end up good for God's original intent for this nation. So we get back, we're going to find out, what is this unstoppable voting block that always votes against Israel? It's time we're going to have to stand up. United Nations is not going to be there for Israel. You know, the church is going to be there for Israel. We have to say, you know what? I want to fulfill that scripture when he says that the Israel would see the Messiah. They would see Jesus when they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Who is that? That's us. That's the church coming and loving and standing up for Israel, crying out for the protection of Israel. Guess what? God will protect him. More we get back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
$50 eye guy.
Welcome to the Army Navy store with 2 locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and in Fort Walton Beach.
We have ammunition, weapons,
tactical gear, survival gear, uniform, patches, and much, much more. Call, go online, or visit us today.
When the kids are young, it feels impossible trying to find time for yourself and your spouse. But you have to do that for the sake of your sanity and the strength of your marriage. This is John Fuller, and therapist Terry Reiser offers this reminder on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
If you believe that these things have to be a high priority, that you must nurture yourself, all aspects of yourself that you must nurture, the marriage relationship and that those two areas have to be put ahead of the children, then that means, yes, because children are so demanding and so 24/7, that'll take some real intentionality, which means you may have to swap out with a friend. You may have to crawl begging to your parents, you know, for a regular, you know, babysitting slot. Whatever it takes, you have to. You can't go for 4, 5, 6 years of these earliest years without nurturing yourself and the marriage relationship.
You'll find trusted advice for your relationship at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We just saw a tragic happening, you know, that in regards to asking Israel to go back to the undefensible 1967 borders.
Right.
That was just wild to be able to see such a thing. But what does that mean? You think about this. There's a push going on. There's an organization going on in regards to what is the goal? What do they want to do? Well, obviously, if it's about rebellion, it's about finding some other form of government. And potentially, it very well could be they're trying to get the United Nations lifted up to a particular level where all of a sudden everybody turns to the United Nations. This is what our president said. This is not for America to decide. This matter needs to be taken up with the United Nations. Well, take a look right here, because there is an unstoppable voting block that's against Israel every single time. When somebody says, as intelligent as our president, knows that if you take it to the United Nations, Israel is going to come out on, in other words, it's like using them as your hitmen,
right,
to be able to take them. As a matter of fact, watch this about the United Nations.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So, when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, oh, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy. The only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist-Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, "Zionism is a form of racism." Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN. But today, this movement has a new tool for attacking Israel as the cause of all our problems. The UN's Durban Review Conference on Racism. Durban is charged with finding the real root of racism, and at the last conference, keynote speaker and human rights best friend Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, yeah, the guy who openly called for Israel's annihilation, revealed that Zionism is not only racist, but the true root of racism throughout the world. And what has history taught us about what tends to happen when one ethnic group is believed to be the hidden root to all the world's problems? What is happening at Durban is catastrophic, not only for Jews, but for the whole world. And it's growing, spreading, and gaining credibility through Durban. In fact, this year, representatives from over 140 different countries will descend on New York City for Durban as speakers work to convince them about
the secret. So you're talking about right now, when you're looking at this, you know, it's an event that
this unstoppable voting block, mm-hmm. think about this unstoppable voting block that is... if you say, let's go resolve it at the United Nations, you're saying, let's do away with Israel.
Right.
Let's take away Israel's rights. And when you think about this, you know, it's just the world is being organized, you know, for this is not a weird, freaky thing. It's being organized. There is a book called Solovinsky, Rules for Radicals. And it's something that's been around since Lucifer organized a third of the angels against God and God cast them out. It's nothing new, but it was put down. And some of the ones, I have a letter in my office that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was mentored, and so was President Barack Obama. You know, obviously they weren't in the offices then. They were mentored by Saul Alinsky. This is tactics that they understand and how to be able to, you have to create some problems and some friction and that type of thing to cause people to pay attention and to organize around. When you start hearing things about global warming and what's taking place, and you're thinking, like, it's freezing, the snow's coming down.
Right.
But it says very specifically in one of the rules for radicals that if you can organize around something that everybody can agree on, such as pollution.
Climate change.
Well, this pollution is what it actually says in his book. And so now you're looking at climate change. So people are just jumping on, hey, we can agree with that. We can unify with that. And so, and it's like, it's first of all, I don't even know the science in it, but we have people on both sides of it, but more people are saying that it's not true or not. But either way, you don't organize around Lucifer, you know, to be able to, you just let the world go, you know,
that's right.
Get cold or get hot. But it's literally being organized. And I think about this, I think about, you know, somebody like George Soros, and you start thinking about how people can make money off the crashings of economies, mm-hmm. because he made money when reports are, you know, he made money in some way when countries, like their dollar or their currency crashes. I don't know how that all works, but people can actually take your country down and make money from the whole experience, mm-hmm. and then come back up again and be able to, now they actually, in rebooting, getting right into what we were going to talk about next is Cloward and Piven. Now, Cloward and Piven is a couple that in the 60s, they wrote a book and some understanding about it. And there's an article right here on The Blaze talking about it. And they're basically saying the only people, there's a joke going on, and the only people that don't know that they're the butt of the joke is America, mm-hmm. you know? And that when you're looking at the borders being overrun, you're looking at, and it was just said, by the way, in a previous program that the president's budget was $4 billion. It's actually $4 trillion. He presented a $4 trillion budget to Congress. If you add up all the presidents from George Washington all the way up to George W. Bush, which was the president right before current President Obama, you put all their budgets together, and we're talking about World War I, World War II, we're talking about the wars that happened during George W. Bush's presidency, and you compare it to how much money has been spent and budgeted just during the 6 years of our current president, he actually has spent more money than all those presidents mm. added up together. That's what the reports right now. And it's like, that's part of Cloward and Piven. Part of Cloward and Piven is this, that if you overrun the system, I mean, you think about it. If you got $1,000 in your checking account and your rent and your power and your groceries and everything is $2,000, that's called overrunning your system. And you know what happens? You get thrown out of your house, you get your car taken away, and you don't have any food. Mm-hmm. And so what their theory was in Cloward and Piven, and this is, you're looking at, you know, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was right in the middle of those 60s organized movement and all these things that took place during that time. President Barack Obama, you know, then Barack Obama was part, he's a community organizer working on these type of kind of tactics. And, you know, if you know, what is your end goal? What is the end game here? And if the end game is not a nation under God who acknowledges God and all the rights come from God, it's not a good thing. And that's why we always talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., because he is a great role model for Christians.
He got it.
Because he is someone who stayed loyal to God. I mean, we all sin. We all make error. I mean, read the Bible. You know, you find out about that. But he was just stood up and said, this is the right thing to do. And then he said about the country, he said, I'm only holding you to the Constitution. I'm only holding you what's written on the paper. So he stayed under the law of the land. He also stayed under the law of God. And in that, one man impacted an entire nation, and thank God, you know, that he did, because major injustices, you know, significantly changed, and they're still changing as we speak right now. But understand this, that so what Cloud and Piven thought was, if we just get everybody on welfare, if we put everybody on some sort of subsidy, and you think about how many subsidies has come out, you know, during this time of the presidency, that it is, and we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about it, but you hear this word like entitlements, and you hear words like subsidies, and you hear like, you know, cut a check. Yeah, let's just, you know, let's buy back clunkers. Let's, you know, buy solar companies. Let's invest in that. Let's invest in battery cars, windmills. Let's just throw money in the wind. You know, let's just send money to a former government, you know, Morsi's government in Egypt, who was persecuting Israel. Let's just write them a check for $100 million, whatever it was. And it's just like spend. $4 trillion budget. What's going on right here? I believe, personally, it looks like to me, and according to this particular journalist we're going to talk about in just a moment, that this is Cloward and Piven, and the end result of it is not good if we don't wake up.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it. Brett, you know, if you haven't yet got a chance to go, which is really good when you're a bit woozy. ISIS, too, by the way. I remember, by the way, I know we're going to talk about the torch, but when I didn't start getting seasick until I started seeing other people get seasick.
Oh, that's the worst.
And when I have more kids,
I didn't think
now,
I needed the Dramamine, but if you got an extra one, I'll take about 7.
Well, I know when my kids, you know, they got sick, that didn't bother me at all, but it did bother Donna. My heart would go out. I was like, oh my goodness. But when I was in the Navy and grown men are getting seasick, it was just everywhere. And I thought, I am going to die in this ashtray. It was like, it was just all of that was happening. They smoked, saw their ashtrays turned upside down. Everything was everywhere. And so I finally made it to the pilot house and got me a big cup of ice and opened up both pilot house doors, and wind was blowing through, and I was laid up against the wall, chewing ice, hoping that I would not get an agreement with what was taking place on that boat. Getting back to the torch, make sure that you get a chance to eat from the bread that we make available for you. Go to VFNTV.com. Go to the torch. You can subscribe to it easily, and every day it will be in your email. You can sign up for the newsletter. It'll come to you once a week. Go to the torch. Go to VFNTV.com and sign up for the torch newsletter. By the way, there's a free gift waiting for you. just to honor you for the whole experience, to thank you for the process. And in this relationship, even if we get a bit woozy, we can do this thing if we walk in agreement under our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We were talking about Cloward and Piven, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're seeing this article. This article is by
Wayne
Root, and a writer, I believe, in The Blaze, but at least that's where the source of it came from. And when you look at the Cloward and Piven model about overriding the system, you know, once we spin beyond ourselves, and I got this, I mean, I can't wait to talk about this. It's going to obviously not be today, but this book, how do you pronounce his last name again?
It is Katusa.
Katusa. We're looking forward to, Maren Katusa's book from Canada that we had talked about this before. And he writes about this. This is about the Colder War, because if you don't know this, probably you might not know it depending on what age you are. The Cold War was about, a war that happened with Russia and its walls before Russia fell. And it's still going. As a matter of fact, the bear is rising mm-hmm. up today and these things are going on. But he talks about in here about overspending. You know, what is the post America look like in regards to the dollar no longer having its value? And when you see how it's almost like Vladimir and the more flexible president, Barack Obama,
right?
Even though they might not be communicating, it's like y'all are moving in the same direction.
Oh, yeah, they're sending messages.
They're sending, I guess, I don't know. I have no record of that. Well, but
he would transmit to Vladimir.
I remember that. He says, I'll have more after the election and be able to talk about that. But in here, he talks about this very specific America, you know, beyond it. And he's saying America has overspent more than we have. And we did it because of the fact that we're printing the money and people have to buy our dollars before they buy oil. But things are shifting as we speak. China and Japan, the reports are they've already developed an exchange where you can buy oil Japan and China. Yes, Japan and China. I'm sure Russia is going to be right in that mm-hmm. mix. And that you don't have to convert it to dollars. You always wonder, you know, when one of these dictators get arrested, they have like big stacks of dollars.
American dollars, right?
Yeah, but you know, I found out, you know, the reason why they did is because you have to, if you're going to buy anything in regards to oil, you're going to have to buy it in American dollars. Hmm. And so what happens is if that goes away, and he's saying that America has spent, and it's going to be that, you know, it's all going to come to a head, and people are going to no longer have confidence in America. This is a safe place anymore. And in that, they're going to start withdrawing their and overnight, mind you, and with this overspending and what's taking place, and our borders are being flooded. And this is what he says. He says in his article right here that Root talks about, he says that this everyday occurrence on our borders where people are coming in, you got to see this. This is somebody who doesn't live in our country that has a shirt on, you know, and his hero is our president. He's coming right here. This has President Obama's name, Obama, on the back of his shirt. You can see it probably just a moment. It'll come up. And he's standing there in regards to with a border agent going through the process that you do when you're illegal. And we're actually registering these folks, the reports are, and we're loosing them in our country. And this man right here talks about that, you know, I am Barack Obama's classmate at Columbia University in the class of 1983. This man, this article is talking about, and we were taught a plan back then to collapse the U.S. economy and destroy its country. That's what he talks mm-hmm. about. It was called Cloward and Piven, named after a husband and wife professor team in Columbia. So it's Columbia. The Cloward and Piven plan involved using spending, entitlements, debt, and crisis. Entitlement, debts, and crisis. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's going on right now.
Exactly.
Debt and crisis to overwhelm the system, to distract and overwhelm the citizens and cause the collapse of America. And at that point, the people would be on their knees begging for big government to save them from drowning. They would be willing to accept socialist nanny state without argument or debate under duress. And you think about it. This is the whole thing. This is the whole thing that's going on. It's like, and you think, you want to think, you know, you always want to be naive and go,
people won't do that.
No.
You know, I remember, I'll never forget this. I'm like, this one particular, you know, person, and he was really involved in the faith movement. You know, God will provide. You just got to speak the words. You got to do whatever. And a storm hit. And when a storm hit, or a hurricane hit, this person calls me from where he was at, and he said, hey, man, I'm over here in this food line. I'm like, food line, you just told me that you can trust God for everything. And he's like, man, I got you a place. Come over here in this food line. And it's like, if you would have listened to God, you would have been prepared.
That's right.
And it's like, no matter what people are saying, when tragedy hits, when crisis hits, we find out who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, you know what? Today you can decide who that's going to be. You can decide today. You say, you know what? I can see this thing on the horizon. We're spending more. We're a $4 trillion deficit. I think providing health care for every American is a wonderful thing. I think giving a nice Rolls Royce to everybody in America is a wonderful thing. But the thing about it is, you first got to find out if you have money to buy a Rolls Royce. You got to find out how you're doing what you're doing.
Isn't that how most Americans decide whether they can pay for something or not? You got to find out how much you actually have before you can actually spend it.
We wouldn't have had a Chuck roast the other day. We would actually have had a better.
Exactly.
It would not be the thing at the beat up or whatever. But it's just, you know, there's just, and this classmate of his, and we'll make this article available to you on the VFN Torch, but he was President Barack Obama's classmate, he says, in Columbia University, the class of 1983. And we were taught, listen to this, we were taught a plan back then to collapse the U.S. economy and destroy this country. It's called Cloward and Piven, named after a couple that actually, they were professors. We have more professors right now. Listen, you know, why send your kid to an organization that's going to turn them against you, turn them against God, and turn them against this country? Is that not, you got to check yourself and say, am I doing that because I want them out of the house? Get them a job.
Right.
Kick them out of the house. It's better than paying for them to be trained up to be against this country and against God. And understanding that this is where this thing was learned, at Columbia University. And you think about Columbia, it's right in the heart. You know where District of Columbia is, right?
Yeah, I know District of Columbia is, yeah.
And
Columbia University is in New York, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Study that one out, didn't you? So when you think about this, that we're cranking up right now towards the Cloward and Plymouth. Okay, they found out you couldn't collapse the system because America was strong enough. The middle class was real strong. And the middle class was the issue. If you read about Cloward and Piven, in some of the books they talk about, what they ran into, the middle class is so successful, it's so stable, it's so financially able that there's not enough people who are struggling financially to collapse the system.
Right.
In other words, there's enough money for everybody being taken care of, but if you want to kill the system and collapse it, they had to find out how to come into the middle class, how to be able to deal, you know, with the middle class.
And I believe that Wayne writes about this in the book. The book's entitled The Murder of the Middle Class and begins to talk about this, I guess, the strategy.
There you go.
Towards it.
That's the whole thing, because Cloud and Plibin does not work unless you do take down the middle class. And think about this, middle class America. I mean, think about this. If you're the middle class and you don't want to be poor and you don't want your money to lose its value and you don't want to, you know, be economically and socially murdered, like he's talking about in his book, then we have to wake up. And part of that is saying, you know what? This is all out right attack on America and everything that America stands for. And then we got to back up and say, but you know what? It was founded on God.
Mm-hmm.
It was founded, even though it's flawed men, it was founded. People were looking for a place to worship where they could worship God and not be persecuted. And they came to this land. What was the name of the movie that the actor put together? We'll think about that movie. We have that available to you on the VFN Torch. It's very good, kind of explaining the story right there. But when they came.
Monumental.
Yeah, Monumental. You got to see that.
Kirk Cameron.
By Kirk Cameron. Monumental. Make that available to our viewers out there. But and begin to understand our history. And they were just trying to find a place. And then America, how do we get here and how do we stay here? There's a two-part series. You got to hear that, because what happened was that the word of God, scriptures, were held by the church of that day, and they didn't think anybody should have the scriptures, so nobody could have the scriptures. So you had people like Tyndale, and you had people
like Wycliffe,
who began to transcribe the Bible so the common plowman could understand it. Well, this was such an evil thing in the eyes of the church that they've killed these guys. You know, one of them they killed, another one they dug him out of his grave, burned his body, his ashes, and the papers that he'd done, and scattered them on the River Swift. This is available to you right now on the VFN Torch. It's a series. It's called America, How We Got Here, How We Stay Here. It's a two-part series. You need to hear that, and you'll find out it's because man became aware of God, the God of the Bible. They understood that God's word is, once they begin to read Bibles and read what God said, they realized God loved them personally and they could worship God personally. You didn't have to do that through a man. And this actually put fear in the people who were trying to control folks, you know, in the context of that. It drove them to America and brought about all these different, you know, you hear about the King James 1611 Bible and other interpretations that came out, other translations since then, but it began with, you know, King James and all that. We talk about all that, how that came to pass. And this was so instrumental because when the Word of God got into the hands of men, then the God of the Bible got into the hearts of men. And understand what you're seeing is they're saying, you know what? We just want to take God out of the hearts of men. We want to take God out of America. We want to take God out of the school. And the reverse is taking place right now. And 80%, John, according to George Barna, 81% of self-professing Christians don't even pick up their Bibles at all. Bibles that people got burned at a stake for doing this. I mean, King James' mother got beheaded by Queen Elizabeth. You know, terrible things happen for people to be able to get the Word of God in their hands. And we won't even pick it up. We won't even pick it up. And it's time for us, you know what? When they picked the Bible up and began to read it, the God of the Bible became the God of their hearts. And that America, long story short, became a nation. And of all the things they could have done, they said, this is going to be one nation under God. And when you're one nation under God, you don't need a king. You don't have to have a tyrannical leader when you're one nation under God, because now you have values, you have a God that's leading you, you have the fear of the Lord. And what happened in the context of that, when you read it, we're one nation under God. Israel was one nation under God. They were walking through the wilderness. They were walking with God. And all of a sudden, they began to look at all these socialistic, tyrannical other governments that had kings. And they said, we're not satisfied with being one nation under God. This is what they said.
Yeah.
We want a king like everyone else. And all of a sudden, God said, okay, I'm going to give you a king. He told them that you're rejecting me. You're not rejecting, you know, the prophet that's telling you that. And he gave them King Saul. And when he gave them King Saul, he told them, you're going to be under tyrannical leadership. He's going to take your best of everything. He's going to tax you high. But if that's what you want, that's what we're going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And they said, give us a king. And at that point, Israel went from one nation under God to one nation under a king who was under God. And all of a sudden, you had to work through a king in the context of that. Well, right now, America, believe it or not, we are one nation under God. That's how we were formed. Israel, when Israel came back to God to be one nation under God, it was our president, it was President Harry Truman that signed the papers, who learned on his mother's knee that this was, you bless Israel, you get blessed, stand with Israel. And we said that he said, we'll back this with the force of America, that they're going to be a nation.
That's right.
And so we became one nation under God. They came back to being one nation under God in the context of that. And now are we going to lose our purpose now? Is that it? Or are we going to say, you know what? We don't need a king.
Yeah. And countries have destinies. What's America's destiny is to bring the gospel to the nations of the world.
Yes.
And we're on the verge of losing that.
Yes. Yes. And we get back from the break. We're going to talk about this more. But understand that we got to wake up. History is today. And our future is today. Today we can determine what's going to happen in our destiny if we'll just arise and quit saying, where's the person who's going to do that? Who's going to be the man that does that? Who's going to be the woman to do that? You are. We are. We can do this thing together. If God is with you, who can be against you?
That's right.
But we got to rise up and begin to take back these seven mountains of culture. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Joining me today, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
How's it going?
Going good.
Very good.
How are you?
Doing good. I really enjoyed our time at the Dream Center Sunday. Yeah, did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I was trying to keep your identity secret.
You did a great job.
I did everything.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That was very nice.
I was given a great, great example of humility or something like that. What was it?
Humiliation.
Humiliation.
One of the two.
Yeah, and I just had to think quickly. you know, and the first thing I thought about was that man you picked up and threw out of the office years ago.
No, I didn't touch him.
You didn't touch him. You didn't have to in those days.
No, right.
It was like, you know, I suggested strongly, like Spider-Man.
You might want to, you know, use that door over there.
Well, he shouldn't have talked about anything about your IQ. I mean, if anybody knew anything at that time, you did not threaten anything about, because you're so smart. He didn't understand how intelligent you were, you know, and what you didn't have in intelligence. You made it through brawn. You were huge. Remember that?
No.
He used to come to work and go, wah, wah, wah. I was like, amazing. You could bench at least 125. Wasn't it 125? It was mentioned at that time.
Yeah. Man.
But I appreciate you letting me be able to share that.
Yeah.
But, you
no
know,
problem.
It's so funny. You can have all these intentions about lifting weights and all that, and then you can think about it and go, what was I thinking? What was I doing
already?
What you do is you just gain weight and you pick yourself up every day. You know, I'm benching. I ain't going to tell you what I'm benching every day.
Yeah, right.
Squatting, I guess they would say.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, I just can't help but go back to The Cold War by Marin Katusa. And I was just reading, we're talking about this, you know, Cloward and Piven and the things that are taking place. And he's talking about, you know, hegemony. When you hear the word hegemony, we have a whole segment called Hegemony Crickets. And that word just really is foreign to us. If you hear somebody saying people want to rule the world, that's the same thing, being, you know, taking hegemony. What you want, what the people who are involved in this caliphate, they want hegemony. They want to be the total ruler of the world.
World domination.
Yeah, Hitler wanted the hegemony. It's what he wanted. But what he talks about this book back in 1973, you know, called The Colder War, that he talks about how in 1973 just a decision was made in regards to with oil and the stability of America, you know, prior to that coming out of World War One, people began to see that, hey, America was a better investment, a place to keep your money, mm-hmm. money safe, because countries were losing their gold and everything. So they started migrating their gold to America. In World War Two, of course, you know, Great Britain and all the France and everybody got, you know, bombarded, and we helped rebuild them. And so they began to say, you know, Great Britain was the place to keep your money at that point. But they overextended themselves. They overspent. They did all these different things. World War II happened. And guess what? Everything shifted to America. People just in their own heart said, you know, America's the best place to keep yeah. your gold. Hence Fort Knox. Well, Germany asked for their gold back, you know, recently. And they said, could you give us 7 years to get it back to you? He's like, what happened to the gold?
Right.
You know, our congressmen and senators, they should be able to go see this and expect that anytime. But anyway, so in 1973, it was a decision was made that, you know, we'll just base the money on the dollar. You know, we'll base it on the dollar, that oil. And we'll base the oil value on the dollar, not the krona, not these other rubies and things mm-hmm. that are out there, because that's the most stable particular thing. And so right now, price of oil and the dollar go together. I think they're selling a barrel of oil for a dime now. Right now, what was it? It's like $40 a barrel. And people go, this is so good. This is so, I mean, it's just like, it's just, as long as it's a good deal,
they don't care what's happening. It doesn't matter.
Listen, if you're getting cotton for 10 cents a barrel, 10 cents a bundle, somebody actually farmed that cotton.
That's right.
For free. That's what happened in America. The slavery that took place in America, the reason why the world got all this great deal for cotton is because people weren't being paid for their labors to be able to deal with the cotton.
Yeah. I mean, they had cotton on their backs made off the backs of slaves.
That's exactly it. And so when we're getting some deal on some particular product, we got to ask ourselves as Christians, is this being built on the back of someone else in the world being enslaved to give us a good deal?
Yeah.
And for some reason, human nature has been that, hey, it's a good deal, let's just let it happen or whatever. And it's like, that's what happened for slavery in America. And right now, some potentially, when you're thinking about India, when you're thinking about China, and how, you know, we're getting products, is how could you get a product for this? Is somebody not being paid? Well, right now, he's stating in his book, in this Cold War, he's saying that's happening because of the hegemony of the dollar. So the world rule of the dollar. In other words, if you own all the money and everybody has mm-hmm. to turn their money into your money before you buy something, then that's like your dollar has the sure. world rule. And so you can be arrogant. You cannot think about how people are being treated. When a company like Apple, you know, makes $18 billion in one quarter, the biggest earnings in the history of the world.
Apple is worth more than Russia's entire stock exchange.
And you think about that.
And so it's like, okay, well, that's cool. If you made $18 billion, did you just park that in your, you know, Park Place bank? Or did you say, you know what, let's go back and check our company and make sure everybody that's touching this product is getting paid because we've got $18 billion to pay them.
Right.
And that's not the practices quite often. And in the Christian business, you know, we have to really think all these things through and how we're doing those things. So the hegemony of the dollar is what he talks about. You think about that, the hegemony of the dollar. And so he's talking about how we've overspent, how we have done that because of, you know, our arrogance, because we could. Mm-hmm. You know, and the politicians, they just get to Washington and they start thinking, we don't have to tax anybody. We can just print more money. But doing that devalues, it changes the oil, it changes all these different things going on. He writes that Russia and China have already worked out a deal right now where they're going to begin to be able to do an exchange, their money versus the dollar. You don't have to actually convert it into the dollar anymore. But the ultimate thing he's saying is, what does the world look like for America if, in fact, we lose the hegemony of the dollar?
Mm. Which is losing dollar ruling everything.
Right. And so, if, for example, if somebody has to take rubies, that say that's a currency that they have, and they want to buy, you know, a barrel of oil, and for us it's $46 a barrel right now. And for them, it could take 10, 20, 30,000 rubies, you know, whatever the values are, for what we only pay $46 for. In other words, they have to give up value. They have to live in smaller houses. They have to not drive cars, possibly. They have to live a deprived life because we decided with our hegemony of the dollar that that's what it would be. Mm-hmm. We cannot turn our back on God and treat the world like this and think that we're not going to have some serious stuff go down. And so we've been, so overnight, when you hear things like the president says there needs to be a transference of wealth, you know, if that's how we're treating the world, think about it. And you understand how God thinks. And God, by the way, God loves every human being on the face of the earth. And he thinks and died for every human being on the face of the earth. And he wants every man to be saved, just because you didn't know that. Some people go, you know, God bless America, but no other nation. It's like, no, he wants...
It's the world. We're global Christians. We're global Christians.
Right, right. And so in that we are really close. It looks like I mean, this is what Robinson said, out of Texas. He said, you know, either humble yourself or be humiliated. Either humble yourself or be humiliated. And it looks like the second is going to be happening. And the end result's the same, and we're going to be humble. But with that, we got to say, you know what? What's going on? What's taking place, right? And I just want to encourage you, you know, as we're coming, you know, we want to stir you, because I believe that if we hear this and we see this and we realize, God, I've sinned. I've always ran for the deal. I never thought about who made this. I never was concerned about it. And if you have a 401k retirement plan, there's a portfolio right there with some of those companies that you're getting your money in. You got to check that out and make sure there's no slave labor in there.
We've been worshiping the dollar. Just reminds me of the vision that gave me. I was in going to work in this vision, and as I was passing, you know, my coworkers, my colleagues, I saw that they were surrounded by a television screen. And they were watching breaking news. And it's not like breaking news today where they typically tell you five times what they're about to break. This was a time pass, if you will. And there was a reporter standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And what I noticed was that no one was trading stocks. All the stockbrokers were surrounding this reporter with a blue coat. And he says, when we get back, we're going to share this breaking news. When we get back, I don't want you to panic. And when he said that, I already knew, because God had already been speaking to us. I knew what he was about to share. So I went to get prepared, to get my things, to get ready to leave, because I knew that pandemonium was about to break loose. As I'm walking past the crowd again, he begins to deliver the breaking news. And what he shares is that in six minutes, the world
is
going
to end. He's standing in front of the stock exchange when he's saying that.
On the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, in 6 minutes, the world's going to be over as we know it.
As it is, it's going to be over. Not the end of the world.
Right. And pandemonium broke loose. People were just screaming. And at that particular time, I was saying, go to VFN TV. Go. We've spoke about this. And if you know the number six, you know, prophetically means idol. And you know,
I want to pray before we close. Lord, we just ask you right now. Just pray with us right now.
pray with us right now. Father God, we just ask you that you would stop this storm, that you would save our economy. Lord, forgive us for the misuse of the dollar. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to end abortion, forgive our sin, and send revival. And I pray that our listeners right now, that you would comfort them, that you would speak to them, Father God, in dreams and visions. Father God, we have hope because you are stronger and more mighty than anything the enemy can do. And we turn to you
Lord,
as our Lord and Savior and say, come, Lord Jesus, come.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Talking about the app, I love the app. You need to go to Google Play Store or your Apple Store or your Windows Store, wherever you...
That's right.
Listen, across all the platforms, we have an app for you. And it's the VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio app. You can continue to take VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio program on the go. We have podcasts for you that it downloads just right into your phone.
Just automatically.
Automatically. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was having a conversation last night with my sister, and she was telling me that a friend is going to Japan for the military, and she was sharing with her all the things that have been discussed on VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio program, and how she was so encouraged. And she's like, well, she has a 15-hour flight. And she can listen to. I'm like, yes.
Oh, wow.
Tell her to get on the podcast. It will download right into her iPhone. It's right there. And she'll listen to it. Because you don't have any internet in Sky. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-uh.
And you can just listen and go. She's like, oh my goodness, that's awesome.
You know, you talking about that, John, reminds me of an encounter that I had. There's a lady that I had met, and she travels so much. She travels from Miami. She's all over Florida, basically all up and down the coast. And we ended up just striking up a conversation about the Lord, and she was just sharing about how God's been speaking to her. And we just started talking about the radio program. And she was just like, what? And just really encouraged and intrigued, and we started talking about it.
VFN TV?
Yeah, the VFN radio program. And I looked down, and she had her purse, and then she had, obviously, like a cover or something for her iPad. And I said, is this your iPad? She says, yeah. And she just very, very, just opened up her app. I said, can I look at it real quick? She says, yeah. So I opened it up, went online and went to, the radio page. And then I went to the home, like the app, and I just downloaded the app for her, put it right on her home screen. I says, here you go. And I showed her on my phone, showed her on the iPad. She ended up sending me this was probably like a month ago.
Now, where does she work now? She works for
a hospital.
Okay.
But she travels and she works for, I don't even know. She works for multiple hospitals.
Right.
And she ended up sending me a text and she says, thank you so much for sharing me that app. I was up all night listening to segment after segment after segment, and I am so encouraged.
Wow, so you shared with her VFN, the VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio app.
Yeah, just downloaded it right there.
Wow, isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
We're hearing testimonies like this over and over and over again, and it really encourages us because we're here for you. We're here to keep the conversation light and to, by the grace of God, bring biblical perspective to the things that are happening all around the world and to share wisdom moments. And to share what God has been speaking to us prophetically about the coming days. And we're excited, truly excited every day to have this conversation with you as we're abiding and seeking God and to be here with you. So this is beautiful.